Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 11, we'll read the first three verses. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Terebah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them." Heavenly Father, please help us today. So often I pray, sir, we would see Jesus just as those testified. They came to the disciples and said, "Hey, we want to see Jesus. Lord, I'm not interested in me. I'm not interested in my ministry. I'm not interested in my church, whatever church I attend, whatever denomination. I don't care about my doctrinal camp. I don't care about my movement. I don't care. I truly don't care. Lord, I want to empty myself, and I want to decrease, as John the Baptist said. I want to have Jesus Christ increase. I want him to be seen. I want to be like Gideon's vessels, the earthen vessels. They put the candle in it, in these urns or vessels, and then they broke the vessels so that the light could be seen. You said we have this treasure in earthen vessels, but Jesus said we don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. Lord, break me. If you put something in me, thank you. If you put understanding in me, thank you. But Lord, I want to be broken. I want people to see Christ, and if they see my flaws, great. To the end that people would trust in Jesus and not a preacher. Not me or not anyone. That the people would see Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this sermon, it's really part 10 in the Missing the Holy Spirit series. But the title is Eldad and Medad, taken from this text. We'll get there in a minute. But this chapter starts out in anger. It says, "The anger of the Lord was kindled, because the people complained and murmured." And as a matter of fact, the children of Israel tempted God 10 times. When they were in the wilderness. And in the beginning, the first couple of times, God didn't say anything. But they continued to do it, and then eventually God had had enough. And he began to pour out judgment. In this case, fire from heaven. And those on the outskirts of the camp Remember, there were 3.5 million Jews in the desert. They were all kind of clumped together. And a few on the edges were killed because of this fire. It's judgment. It's God taking a stick and going behind the woodshed. But you find compassion. You find God's patience, His mercy. You find compassion. Here in verse 2, it says the people complain, hey, you know, there's people dying out there. And Moses prayed. He interceded. He went before and between those that were afflicted and the Lord. He placed himself in the middle. That's called intercession, when you plead someone else's case. And it says the fire was quenched. But again, they tempted God 10 times. I believe that's the count. And you find compassion. And you also find that judgment many times is redemptive. God may take us behind the woodshed, but it's to help us. He may be angry with us, but what does the scripture say? If we were not sons, He wouldn't bother. He wouldn't bother to correct us. We're not bastards or illegitimate children. We're children of God. We're legitimate. And because He loves us, He chastens us. But again, as you read through the Old Testament, you will find the mercy, the compassion, the long-suffering of the Lord. Verse 16, and it says, the Lord said unto Moses in response to this event, the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down from heaven and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit that is upon thee and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Again, this is compassion. In response to, it says they complained and murmured, and that's one thing that God really doesn't have time for. You know, Jesus carried His own cross up a hill and was nailed to it, and they dropped it in a hole. And He hung there, struggling for every breath, until He died. Oh, your car broke down. Okay. Oh, you can't pay the rent, and they might kick you out. Hey, been there. I understand. But it's nothing compared to what Jesus suffered. It's nothing. Instead of complaining, pray. What do I say every time this program closes? Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Bring your problems to God. And that's one of the messages of Scripture, is that we bring our problems to Him, that we learn to depend upon God. But God said, I'll take of your Spirit, your anointing, your authority and power. I'll take some of that, and I'll put it on these 70, and they'll help you to bear the burden of the people. The job of a pastor, yes, he preaches on Sunday, he may be the administrator of the church. You may be able to wake him up at 3 a.m. and get him to go to the hospital. But one of his jobs is to pray for you and to care for you and he may never tell you of his travail and struggle and labor in prayer for you, but he does it if he's a man of God. He's supposed to care for the sheep and lay his life down for the sheep. Isn't that what Jesus said the good shepherd was about? Again, as we read through the Old Testament, we see the care and compassion of God. But jumping a few verses ahead, again, we're in chapter 11 of Numbers, verse 24 and 25, it says this, "And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered 70 men of the elders of Israel, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake to him," to Moses, "and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that, as the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease." This is a foreshadowing, a type of the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came down in Acts chapter 2. They didn't prophesy then, but they spoke in tongues as the Spirit, the tongues of fire, rested upon each of them. Again, this foreshadowed this episode here in Numbers, in the Old Testament, it foreshadowed the day of Pentecost that we read about in the New Testament. But again, instead of speaking in tongues, they prophesied. They were speakers of Hebrew, and they began to give prophecies. I don't know what they said. Maybe they said, "Hey, you know, God delivered us from Pharaoh." They may have said, "Hey, you know, God promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that he'd send a deliverer." Who knows what they said, but they prophesied. They glorified God. Perhaps they told of the future, how that the Messiah would come. I don't know what they prophesied, but it says that they did. As God, quoting from Acts chapter 2, as the Spirit gave them utterance, gave them what to say supernaturally, they spoke in their normal language. They prophesied. But it says they prophesied and did not cease. They prophesied and did not cease. This gift of the Spirit that God gave to these 70 elders, they kept it all their lives. They did not cease. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that the gifts of the Spirit or the baptism in the Holy Ghost are not for today. Nowhere does the Bible say that the gifts would pass away. Nowhere does it say that the office of apostle or prophet would pass away. Churches and denominations teach that, but the Bible does not say it. Again, the Bible does not say that apostles and prophets passed away. They may come infrequently, but they never left. You say, what are you saying, preacher? The New Apostolic Reformation claims to be restoring the office of apostle. Before that, and it's the same bunch of people, the Kansas City prophets, they claimed to be restoring the office of prophet to the church. But again, their premise is wrong. Their premise is wrong because in the book of Ephesians, you read of the fourfold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the pastor and his teaching staff. Fourfold, not five. But nowhere does the Bible say that it passed away. We still have pastors. We still have evangelists. You know a pastor. If you attend church, you know a pastor. So the idea of God's gifts to the church, the ministry offices, that some would pass away, they didn't. Again, apostles and prophets never left. Therefore, the idea of restoring them is false. Now, there are those that claim to be apostles and, quoting Revelation, were to judge them. And if they're not apostles, we need to say so. And the New Apostolic Reformation claims to be apostles. We need to judge them by the Word of God and determine if they really are or really not. There are many false apostles, many false prophets. Jesus said that there would be. The apostles, we can read their letters, said there would be. You can read way back in the time of Moses. Moses prophesied that there would be false prophets. We need to be careful and judge by the Word of God, apostles or prophets or evangelists or pastors. We need to judge them by the Word of God. We take what they say, we compare it to the Bible, and we judge them. But let me say, if you read your Bible, you'll find that true apostles suffer. How many times was Paul beaten, shipwrecked, mocked? How many times? When Ananias came to lay hands on Saul after he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, Ananias was told, "I've shown him how he's going to suffer for me." But if the man has a Rolls Royce, man has a Learjet, man has $2,000-$3,000 suits, he's not much suffering, is he? But again, the gifts have not passed away, and the true offices of apostle and prophet have not passed away. You know, there's a difference between a Pentecostal and a Calvinist. A Calvinist will tell you what he does not believe, and he tells us who cannot be saved, limited atonement, and what have you. But Pentecostals will preach what they do believe, and they'll tell you that anyone can be saved, whosoever believeth. And my message to you is, if you're not a Christian, come to Christ. If you have problems in your life, bring your problems to God. Ask Him to help. And believe that He loves you. And believe that God sent His Son to die for you on the cross. And hey, how much more? What more does God have to do to demonstrate His love for you, that His own Son hung and bled for you? I'm here to tell you that God can do everything. There's nothing that He cannot do. Whatever your trouble is, come to God, and He can help you. But getting back to our text, one more verse here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 26. It says, "But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad and the other Medad. And the Spirit," it says, "the Spirit rested upon them." Just like the others, just like the other 68, they prophesied. And it says that they were of them that were written. Okay, we got 70 guys, here's the list, you know. But they didn't go out to the tabernacle, it says, but they stayed in the camp, and they prophesied in the camp. Eldad and Medad, these are interesting characters, an interesting study. They didn't go out to the tabernacle, to the tent of meeting, They stayed in the camp. To me, that's a picture or a symbol of evangelism. It's good to go to church. I enjoy going to church. I hope that you have a good church to attend. I hope you enjoy it. And that's good. But we need to do something outside of the church. If you have a chance to tell somebody about the Lord, do it. If you have a chance to witness or to testify or to pray for somebody, if they have some trouble, do it. Again, what we do in church is great, but you need to take what we have outside the four walls of the church. And these two, not being in the tent of meeting, not being at the tabernacle where they were supposed to be, but being outside. Again, I see that as a symbol of evangelism or soul winning or what have you. The word Eldad in Hebrew means beloved of God or beloved of God, one that God loves. And the name Medad means beloved. And you say, well, that's kind of the same thing. And it is kind of the same thing. But you see, Eldad, his name, beloved of God, shows a vertical relationship. That God loves him, sees what he's doing. He's out there prophesying. And again, it's a symbol of evangelism and soul winning. God loves to see that. Remember, Jesus said that heaven stands on its feet and cheers and rejoices when one sinner comes to God. Remember, he said he'd leave the 99 and go after the one. And that's what God loves. If you care enough to tell somebody else about what God did for you, God loves you. But that's Eldad. What about Medad? It doesn't say beloved of God. It just says beloved. That's a horizontal relationship. The vertical and the horizontal, these two names symbolize the cross. It talks of Jesus Christ, 100% God, but came down and became 100% man. And when he was nailed to the cross, he stood for us. He stood for us. And as we put our faith and trust in him, God looks down and accepts us. Again, it's a vertical and horizontal relationship. Eldad and Medad.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back at Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. And it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears, and it dries away all all my tears, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, and it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, and it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows through the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.